Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're having our usual walk through the Welsh Hills as we're recording this today. And for this episode, I wanted to talk about something which I'm finding increasingly disturbing, which is the movement that seems to have sprung up that claims that the pandemic is a hoax. So I'm just going to kick off. This is a little piece that I wrote this morning and posted it on Facebook. It's time to look under the hood of the movement claiming the pandemic is a hoax to see what really makes it tick. After a lot of questioning, deep thoughts and conversations, and watching videos of prominent people in this movement stating their ideas, I now believe that this movement is entirely artificial and engineered. This process of artificially engineering a grassroots movement is called astroturfing and is now a well-known and documented phenomenon that has been widely used by Cambridge Analytica and companies who model themselves on their techniques. In so many ways, this movement will achieve the exact opposite to what the protesters intend and will actually end up benefiting the government, their backers, and increase our speed towards dictatorship here in the UK. The very important question to be asked about any grassroots movement to determine if it is a true organic movement or has been created to benefit its creators is this. If the aims of this movement were to be fully realised, who would benefit? For instance, the completely insane QAnon movement believes that the world is run by paedophile cannibals or some such gibberish, but only Donald Trump can save us from this terrible evil. So it's not hard to see who is going to benefit from the aims of this movement. Trump, directly or indirectly, in our honest opinion, has engaged a company specialising in mass manipulation using the techniques pioneered by Cambridge Analytica to win the election for him. This is going quite well because now, unfortunately, millions of people passionately believe this insanity. In the case of the pandemic hoax movement, they highlight a massively important issue, which is that of excessive government control and the UK government trying to seize emergency powers for years. This is a legitimate concern and something we should all be resisting. This kind of power in the hands of the Tories is dangerous to us all. If the movement was solely about this issue, then it would be perfectly sensible and something I'm sure we could all get behind. But unfortunately, no sensible person will join in the call to stop the government illegitimately claiming emergency powers if they have to stand shoulder to shoulder with people who believe that the pandemic is a hoax and, quite frankly, a lot of other stuff which is wildly unbelievable and is just a delusional conspiracy theory that does not stand up to the slightest scrutiny, promoted by David Icke, who the majority of people believe to be insane. Not to mention the British Union of Fascists, who were also at the protest, just to make absolutely sure that this issue was discredited even further. In other words, what this movement has achieved is to utterly discredit the serious call to curb total government power. The pandemic hoaxers want us to all join together to create a united front against the government. But what they have actually created here is division, because most people will look at what they are doing and will be utterly repelled by how crazy it is. Who will benefit from this division? Also, the pandemic hoaxers want us all to stop social distancing and not wear masks and all that jazz and live life as we normally do. So again, who will benefit from this? The Tories have been absolutely desperate to get us all back to work and back to business as usual so that their capitalist pals won't have to take a hit. The pandemic hoaxes are basically doing the government's work for them, and I can hear Dominic Cummings laughing from here. And also, what I wanted to add to that that I didn't mention was the fact that this movement is a fantastic distraction from what the government's really doing. While everyone's hysterical about masks, the government is getting away with continuing to privatise the health service and destroy the National Health Service in as quickly as possible, not to mention trying to nobble the judicial system so that they're trying to make themselves above the law, and really a multitude of really awful stuff that nobody is noticing because they're all involved with the hysteria of social distancing and all the rest of it that they're so concerned about. And when I heard that the British Union of Fascists were actually at this protest in London, I actually didn't believe it. I thought, this is a joke. And I saw photographs on Facebook and Twitter of the flag being unfurled and everything. I don't know, I didn't really know what to make of it. I thought, why would the fascists be involved with this? But I've since found out that they actually were there and they are involved. And they actually do really love David Icke, much to my surprise. So I was wondering, why do you think the fascists like David Icke so much? Because I thought that they wouldn't really be interested. I have to confess, I'm not an expert on David Icke, because just a little taste is enough to make me realise, I'm not really going to look much further into that one. But why do you think the fascists do like him so much?
This whole movement applies to the right. And the reason why it applies to the right, and the thread that stitches all the various components of the loose coalition that this movement is together, is a commitment to irrationalism, because the Nazis were famous irrationalists. And David Icke obviously is completely irrational. But they do like him, objectively they like him. The many small far-right parties in the UK run journals or small magazines, small online presence, and they pretty well uniformly have endorsed David Icke and David Icke's books, which incidentally he's written 20 books and they sell millions of copies. The guy has a huge following, and this is worth bearing in mind. And I suppose the fascists in endorsing him, maybe they hope that they'll get some of that following. I mean, the measure of his following is that not long ago he set up a internet TV channel and he crowdfunded it to get it started and raised £300,000. But the fascists like him. Now you might think, well, why?
So it does seem like an unholy alliance, like the New Agers and the fascists. You never thought they'd come together.
I mean, the Nazis liked a lot of the same things that the New Agers did, you know. I mean, Hitler had an astrologer who advised him. A lot of the central Nazis believed in all kinds of occult mishmashy stuff. I think they had various theories, including, you know, the hollow earth theory, that there was like a hole at the North Pole and the South Pole, and that flying saucers flew in and out of the hole because they'd got a civilization in the centre of the earth, these aliens. And that's where flying saucers really came from. All that kind of bollocks.
Well, the Nazis thought that.
Yeah, they were complete. The whole thing was deeply irrational.
Wow.
R.G. Collingwood, a not very well-known philosopher from the middle of the 20th century, writing in 1938 in the run-up to the war, said he did warn people about fascism, the rising tide of fascism, and he characterised it as just pure irrationality leading to muddle, which I think what this COVIDiocy movement is. It's irrational and muddled. That is the thread that binds them together. But there are some concrete things in David Icke's writings which are attractive to the far right. And they see Icke's kind of story that the lizard, or the archons, who are these beings from another dimension, which rule the world to the detriment of all the human beings on the planet, either descendants of these archons or crossbreeds or blah blah. He's got various takes on this, but the far right sees this as an analogy or a metaphor for the Jewish Bolshevik conspiracy, which is a classic Nazi anti-Semitism idea. The whole Nazi thing was fueled on a conspiracy theory that certain rich Jews and Jewish families controlled the banks, controlled the money, and were behind the Russian Revolution, and that there was a Jewish Bolshevik conspiracy to bring down the noble Aryan people. Right? So they fueled their entire death cult on that conspiracy theory. This is why you've got to kind of watch it with this stuff. And so the far right think that David Icke's story is a metaphor for that. You know, and that the Archons and the lizard people are really like the Jews and their allies. You know, and that the Jewish Bolshevik conspiracy. And Icke denies this. He says he's a one love person, love everybody. All these divisions are meaningless. Let's all come together. And they were trotting out these mantras at this march on Saturday. You know, and it is bollocks. It's the same kind of bollocks as when Trump said after Charlottesville, when a far right maniac drove his car at high speed into a crowd of leftist protesters and killed somebody. Trump says, oh, there are fine people on both sides. This always plays to the right. So, I mean, he's playing to the right with all that. But you've got this lovely, fine-sounding hippie ideal turned into something that plays to the right. Because basically what it says is there is no antagonism at the core of society. And there is. But it's not between beings from the next dimension, alien beings from the next dimension, and the rest of humanity. It's far more concrete, far more material, far more provable, far less fantastic. And that antagonism is between people who live off profits and people who have to sell their labour in order to survive. And that's a material antagonism that's real and that needs addressing. So all of our attention to that is deflected into a story that it's some nefarious entity like the Elders of Zion or the Illuminati or the lizard people from the Archon people from the fourth dimension or whatever the fuck, you know. So you can say that it is intrinsically fascistic, dressed up in a kind of a religious hippie thing. Now, I tell people, you know, love, you know, I'm a hippie, I love everybody, I really do. But I don't, doesn't mean say I love their stupid ideas and won't fight their stupid ideas, because I will.
Especially when it's going to harm other people.
Yeah, because what this kind of David Icke line comes down to is love everybody and therefore never ever criticise their ideas. Never ever criticise their behaviours. You know, and a lot of these people say, oh, let's have an open mind. Well, so if you've got an open mind and no critical faculty.
Oh, dangerous combination.
You know, you've got a vacuum waiting for all kinds of fucking nonsense to jump into. And which, of course, is what we see. So I'm trying to see both sides. Okay. But you know that attempt at some kind of even-handed play straight to the right, straight to the status quo every time.
So these protesters are just being conned, really, aren't they?
Absolutely. The tragedy is that there's a kernel of truth in the middle of it. The tragedy is that the movement has alighted on a kernel of truth or several kernels of truth. One is that governments do bad things, and we should treat their activities and the things that they say with scepticism. But what do they do with that? They're sceptical about what the government does, but then don't investigate it properly. And then get deflected into imaginary scenarios instead of looking at what's happening materially, concretely, in the economy. And then they abandon their scepticism when it comes to believing the most half-baked fucking theories you can imagine, which are completely unverifiable by any means whatsoever. So there's the irrationality. There's one instance of the irrationality, at least. He's not applying your scepticism evenly. And having no basis for applying it in a fairly sort of random fashion. That's irrational. The other thing that they grasp is that there is a gross inequality of power in the world that partly determines historical outcomes, even though cock-ups have got a very large part to play in that also. The tragedy of this movement is that it's actually helping the oligarchs to preserve and enhance their position in the world, whilst it imagines that it's opposing the oligarchs. It doesn't even identify the oligarchs correctly. And the whole thing consequently applies to the right. It applies to the status quo and it applies to the right. Fundamentally, it plays to the preservation of the malignancy, which is global capitalism. And it's no accident that fascists are in coalition with New Agers and anti-vaxxers and climate deniers and followers of the most absurd and utterly fantastical conspiracy theories. And I'll repeat this, the thread that binds them together is irrationalism. And make no mistake about it, this is a fascist mob in the making.
And also something we haven't mentioned here is that if this were true and the pandemic was a hoax, it would mean that every single country in the world, every single government in the whole world, all have conspired together for the benefit of Bill Gates. I mean, there is absolutely no possible way that that level of cooperation, that world cooperation, would possibly happen. No possible way. You know.
Well, they can't organise a piece up in a brewery, can they?
Well, it's the level, the skilled level to do a worldwide conspiracy like that. It was just far exceeds their capabilities.
And are these people in the movement actually saying that the doctors that do come out and do warn people, and the virologists, and the epidemiologists, and the statisticians, and the nurses reporting back from the wards, and the grieving relatives, are all lying?
Well, they have to be saying that.
I mean, my favourite strategy on Twitter is when these people go, oh, it's a hoax. I mean, you know, they either think that it's completely harmless as a virus or that it doesn't exist at all. And they're as bad as each other, really. Every time I see that thread on Twitter, I post a link to the many reports of people who've been rabid deniers who've then kind of lost a relative or have themselves died, you know. And sometimes apologising. There's loads of them. I suppose they're all a hoax as well, then, aren't they? You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just on that level, it's just idiotic. I don't think even kind of stooping to try and logically unpick it is pathetic, really, you know.
Yeah. But the very important issue here that we haven't mentioned at all yet is the fact that this is massively dangerous and will kill people.
Yeah.
Because if you convince people it's a hoax and they don't need to socially distance or wear masks and they can just go about their business as normal and they catch it and become seriously ill or die and pass it to their relatives and their loved ones and the same happens to them, then this is a really dangerous thing and a very, very risky, very, very risky game to be playing.
Yeah, but capitalism doesn't care. Capital doesn't care. Big Tobacco didn't care when it came to light that their product killed millions of people in a horrible way. They didn't care. They falsified data. They got pretend scientists and rogue scientists to wear white coats and say, no, smoking's safe. It's all, you know, they did that. When the evidence is so overwhelming, you know, the climate deniers the same. And the polluters the same. Because what it's the god of capitalism is profit, and everything is subservient to it, is subsumed to it, everything, absolutely everything. And if people die, so be it. I mean, not to mention the arms industry, totally locked in with government in our country, particularly, and in the US particularly, totally enmeshed. And the British government, of course, is equipping the Saudi Air Force with British manufactured aeroplanes to bomb Yemen back into the Stone Age. Yemen, thousands of children have been killed. There have been epidemics of cholera, huge food shortages, famine, an absolute disaster, an absolute genocide. And the British government gives British arms manufacturers a license to sell this stuff that's causing this crime, as well as sending British military to service the aircraft on the ground, to train the pilots, to make sure that the whole operation can go. This is disgusting, but this is capitalism. It doesn't care about killing people, you know. And you can see these careless people are playing right into that scenario. They're playing right into it. If the hoaxer movement that demonstrated in London on Saturday were to get its way and were to change society, were to determine the future according to their desiderata, who would benefit? Well, fucking hell, capitalism would benefit. And on those grounds, I think we're right to be suspicious of them. Then you dig a bit deeper, summarising a bit now. Then you dig a bit deeper, and you find this kind of thread of irrationality between that binds the different factions of the movement together. And the way it plays to the right, and the way, in fact, the far right are involved. So, if you are involved with that kind of crap and you're listening to this, get your shit together, ask some questions, do some real questioning.
Anyway, I hope everyone found that useful, and we'll speak to you soon.